To help support this podcast
and get exclusive bonus content and rewards,
make a monthly pledge at
patreon.com/universebox.
And remember to think outside.
Do not adjust your computer screen. It's your mind we're changing. Stories set to a theme. Think outside. Universe Box.
When I ask you for help, I'll say pretty please. When I ask you for help, I'll say pretty please. When I ask you for help, I'll say pretty please. Pretty please, pretty please, pretty please. When I've made a mistake, I say excuse me. When I've made a mistake, I say excuse me. When I've made a mistake, I say excuse me. Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. When people are so nice, I will say thank you. When people are so nice, I will say thank you. When people are so nice, I will say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
From the heavens to your ears, this is Universe Box, and is this the right fork? What do you mean I can't put my elbows on the table? I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And welcome back to another lovely little Thursday night shenanigans here. Every Thursday night, 8:30 p.m. EST, we come to you live at live.universebox.com with a full chat room there. Hello to the chat. We'll say hi to the chat. Hi, chat. I see Scotty Rowland and Becca and Angel and Anne-Marie sitting right next to me. So, wait, Anne-Marie, why don't we go ahead and get started and find out what's in the box today. What's in the box today? What could it be? What could it be now? What could manners? Yes, this week we're talking. Yep, we're talking about manners. We'll veg out in the idiot box to learn what we're doing wrong. Then we'll look in the school box to learn how to leave an impression at a dinner party. We'll teach you social media etiquette in the toolbox. And we're also going to update you on Miss Manners in the history box. Then finally, we'll pull out some questions you submitted through the idea box. A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
Super duper.
Let me just keep hitting my mic. How's that?
No, it's fine. The audio listeners need to hear the box, right?
They have to know that the box is actually happening.
Exactly. So I guess we'll go ahead and get started with the history box here. Now, teaching proper manners used to be a cottage industry, if you guys didn't know. So we're going to take a look back at two of the biggest names in politeness from the 1950s, starting with Miss Manners, Anne-Marie.
Exactly.
So if you would like to go ahead and take the reins.
If you would like to pull up the right website, that would be great.
Is this it?
The one that says Miss Manners. Yes. Okay. So Miss Manners, you may have heard of her. She has a series of books, and ebooks. You can get them on her website or Amazon and all that good stuff, telling you, how to raise perfect children. And there's actually some more modern topics about you can't endlessly text and things like that.
All good advice, all good things.
She still has a regular newspaper column, and there is a spot on the page that we have pulled up where you can submit questions, and since they get a lot, they don't actually respond to them personally, but that's where she gets the questions for her column.
Here, I'm putting one in right now.
Okay, what are you asking?
Is it polite to only look at chat when you are co-hosting a podcast? And I'm going to email a copy of this to our address just because, and boom.
There we go, boom. You never know. We'll never know that it's been answered.
Because we'll never look at it.
Right. But I don't know. I always just think, I don't think I've ever really known the actual Miss Manners, but I always think, Miss Manners wouldn't like that and stuff like that. So we had to pull her in.
Definitely.
Next, please. Who is Emily Post?
Emily Post.
Sort of the forefront of, she is etiquette, basically, or was Rest in peace. She was a New York debutante and published her first etiquette book in 1922. So she was really kind of on the forefront of educating people on that. And right when charm schools and stuff were really starting to be a thing. When she passed away, or probably a little bit before, in the 60s, her family sort of took over. It's now the Emily Post Institute. And five generations of Posts have been involved. There's like six or seven of them now that currently work for it, which I thought was kind of cool. There's at least 25 books. You can search an etiquette encyclopedia on the website, and they have a bunch of different seminars that you can be like, hey, I'd like to hold this children's seminar, and they'll do, they, you know, for a fee, you can do that. It's also neat because they have a lot of modern etiquette there. There's tips about, again, texting tips. It tells you how to show thanks with American Sign Language. Mixed families at weddings. Basically, you know, you've got the mom and the stepmom, and who sits where, and all the precedent with that, because that's just more and more important, really. And even how to transform an outfit from business casual during the day to a holiday party at night. So it's really neat to see.
I would also say I see a really nice etiquette tip in our chat room too. Tondagasa says, don't type in all caps at the dinner table. Definitely good advice.
Oh, very good advice. Very good advice, Tonda. So there's your Emily Post. Okay. There's actually a lot on that website if you have a couple hours to kill.
It definitely looks super in-depth and everything, for sure.
Next, we have the Wendy Ward Charm Book.
Oh, yes.
Okay, this is kind of cool. Scroll down a little. It was Montgomery Ward, the department store, offered charm schools basically in a room upstairs a couple hours once in a while.
You got to have a couple side businesses going.
Apparently, because, you know, department store is not enough. But those were in the 60s and 70s. And this article that we have, they interviewed a former charm school person, and they basically said they learned how to like do their hair, paint their nails, and be polite. So not all of the advice in the book is awful, to be honest. Some of it, however, is ridiculous, like that part of a woman's job is to make a man feel manly by allowing him to do things for her, and to ask him questions about him and ask questions about him, and, you know, don't flaunt — it's actually on the page that you're on — don't flaunt that you are a woman, basically.
This means letting them open doors and help you because they are men and wonderful, not because they're better or else.
Right. it also, I think it's also in there, it says wearing tight dresses and low cut sweaters have nothing to do with being a woman and make everyone uncomfortable.
Definitely.
I've known many a men who think that tight dresses and low cut sweaters are very comfortable.
I was going to say that you know, say the people wearing them might not find them very comfortable though. Like, depending, because I mean, they're more for aesthetics than for comfort.
Not always. Some people just like
how to talk to boys.
Oh yeah, there's lots of advice. There's even advice about losing and gaining weight, because, well, back then a slightly larger woman was, you know, what you want. You didn't want the size zero stick figure waif.
They called them dumplings.
I think that was being polite.
Yes.
To call them a dumpling. The other one's a string bean. But some other advice, and a lot of the weight loss tips are actually not bad. Like, stop eating before you're full. Stay busy so that you stay away from the fridge, stuff like that. The gaining ones, however, are a little ridiculous. Basically, if it's cold, dress warm. What does that have to do with gaining weight?
Yeah, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Also, chewing lets off nervous energy. So eat chewy foods. These are gaining weight. I don't understand. Another one, I believe it says, don't worry.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Just don't worry about it. let's see. Oh, again, with the phone, never call a boy. Ever. Ever. Even if he says, hey, call me, don't call him, because that is social suicide. It straight up says social suicide.
I would have found that helpful when I was like in high school and everything. If the girl would call me instead of me having to call the girl, like, that didn't happen too much, you know, in the 90s.
Hey, guess what? The guys didn't call all the time either. the times of instant messenger. At the very end of the book, and in all caps, we get this lovely piece of advice, though. Don't die and don't go steady. Either one will take you out of circulation.
Amazing.
It is comparing having a steady boyfriend to death.
Well, you know, it does say here, point number five there, says girlfriends are very important. They make life fun and interesting. Just don't get caught in the never apart trap. I think that's good advice. One piece of advice translates from this book to the modern day.
But there is a few things I've learned from Charm School and Miss Manners and Emily Post.
Yes, quite interesting. And you can find links to all of that, including all of the scans from the Charm book and everything at universebox.com in the show notes. For this episode, episode 10, we're in double digits. Manners.
Wow.
I know, right?
10. It's insane.
So I guess we should go ahead and get it into the idiot box here. Now, in the idiot box, we sit back and make fun of films and shows from the past. This week, we're looking into the past to learn how to be decent human beings. First up is 1947's Are You Popular? Followed by the 1954 classic. Habit Patterns. You can find links to both in our show notes, but let's go ahead and start the show. Dun, 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 dun. Here we go. Are you popular? Are you popular?
No. Never. Never. Ever. Ever. Apparently, if you shiver, you burn calories.
Interesting.
So, things I've learned today.
I never heard that.
Neither have I, but Angel tells.
it's a nice lunchroom.
Popularity. What is it made of? How does a person get to be popular with lots of people and have a few close friends, too?
That's a good question.
Let's watch and see what makes people like one person and not another.
Hey, Jerry, there's that new girl in our math class.
Here's that new girl in our math class.
Oh, yes.
He looked really Gomer. She even had, like, the big like, why? Adam's apple.
You know her? Not very well. I wish I did. I don't know what it is, but there's...
They're all drinking milk with straws out of glass bottles.
Well, that's cool.
She always looks nice to start with.
Yeah. I'm just going to stare across the room for hours.
Weird characters in this place.
Yoo-hoo!
Ginny thinks that she has the key to popularity, parking in cars with the boys at night.
Oh.
When Jerry brags about taking
Jenny.
He learns that...
Is this 8675309, Jenny?
And he feels less important. What about Ginny?
Oh, hi, Jenny.
Does that make her really popular?
She's popular with all the boys.
Is she welcome to
join? And three of the girls, too.
Oh,
hi, Betty. Ellie.
See, Betty and Ellie. There's two of the three.
That's fantastic.
Say, Wally, how's the play coming along?
Oh, okay, Jenny.
No, thanks, Jerry. Girls who park in cars.
What do you think of that sweater? Do you like that sweater?
I actually do
not
like
even
that
with
sweater.
The boys they park with. Not
seems almost
they
a little bulky.
At school or elsewhere.
Well, they told you not to wear
especially
anything tight.
Especially for her being the popular girl.
Like being Miss Popularity.
Yeah.
Miss Popularity.
Miss Popularity is not a good thing.
That's what they called
now,
me in high school.
This one girl is sitting
now,
with all the boys.
The girl that'd really get my vote.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I feel like that's a little weird.
Maybe she's like the
Carolyn to join their group when
the
Jenny
friend that everybody nobody is attracted to, but they use her to bring in other girls,
or it's a little sister.
Could be,
as in boys,
although she looks about 40.
A little bit. Well, my angle's bad.
Working with boys.
My goodness.
Betty's lead our class play. Oh, yes. I looked in on it so yesterday. We're all in on it one way or another. I'm on the costume committee.
And Jerry and I are stagehands.
Two among a dozen or so.
Theater kids.
Yes.
How about you, Wally?
Theater girls tend to be pretty popular when I was in school. Generally.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, theater boys were, too. It was just kind of like, it was a big popularity fest.
Could I lend a hand?
I mean, would you really?
Sure, I'd like it. I don't know anything about props, but I could learn.
Yes, Angel mentions that all these old films from the 40s to 60s seem to have the same narrator. What's that?
I can't really say it.
Okay. No, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Scotty says the narrator was my grandpa joking. My grandpa was an old racist bastard.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Wynn said it's the Cold War era. Weird girl's a spy.
Carolyn dance Saturday night.
We'll better go ahead and ask her.
What about that guy's sweater?
Is that a sweater?
Yeah, it is. It's like some sort of weird,
like a crazy tattoo,
tribal pattern or something.
Tribal pattern. We've got multiple Bobbies.
Hello?
Now, kids, if you don't know, this is a phone. It plugs into a wall.
Yes.
This is how phones used to be before you had these jimmies. These guys right here.
Well, yes, I...
Or if you'd rather go with the gang on a skating party and weenie roast, we'd have to leave earlier for that, though.
He said weenie.
We'd get home at a decent time.
Oh, the skating sounds like loads of fun.
Loads of fun.
That sounds far less threatening than one-on-one time.
In putting the invitation this way, it shows he has thought about what Carolyn might like, and he has implied his price.
Silly Bobby.
So don't. She will have some idea of what he can afford when she makes her
choice. Is this guy Bobby or is the guy in the chat room Bobby? Hi, Bobby.
Carolyn likes it better this way, too.
Bobby.
It's
Bobby,
doing the girl
Bobby.
No favors.
Oh, we have two Beckers and two Bobbies.
Because
they keep putting the underscore.
All right, Wally. On Saturday at 5, then.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, I think basically the basic gist, if you missed it, was, okay, both of these people are lying to each other and playing games.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly how you want to do it.
Uh-huh. Calendar. Not a bad
look at that
idea.
Calendar. That's a big calendar.
My grandpa had that one.
It's like, what teenage girl has that kind of calendar?
Too late.
Would you like me to get my planner?
Sure. Hmm. Are you a teenage girl?
To write yourself.
I used to be.
But first thing in the planner, become a teenage girl again.
Yes.
There. You too can do a manicure, Ellie.
Bobby's.
I might even know what to wear it with tonight if I only knew if Bill's dug up transportation to the dance. You sure he knew to phone you here at my house?
He doesn't
house?
Care about your
I've
jewelry.
Three times. I'll have to be getting home to dinner pretty soon.
Oh, do you then?
Take my advice. Think twice before you start going.
Are those
crazy.
Dogs in the wallpaper? Oh, no, those are flowers.
Else at all? Nope. Well, don't you ever want to? On nights like this, I do. I never.
They actually have some pretty interesting camera shots in here, like they're shooting her through the mirror,
yeah.
Which is hard to do because, you know, the camera's going to show up in the mirror. Sorry, Scotty, for setting off your Google Now when I said okay.
Oh, hello, Jerry.
He better not be canceling on her.
Oh, the props are coming along all right.
Oh, no one else can make it.
Hey, Carolyn, how about a date?
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, this is a different guy.
I don't know, Jerry.
Oh.
She's popular.
When did you have in mind?
Well, what are you doing tonight?
I'm awfully sorry, but I have a date for tonight, Jerry. Tomorrow? No, I'm sorry.
And she's like, I wish I was that popular.
I wish I had these problems.
Call me early next
she's like
week,
all
Jerry.
Slouched down in the chair, too.
Okay, Carolyn. Thanks a lot, just
and these are payphones. They used to have these in restaurants.
They
and,
still have some. I've seen them.
Occasionally.
Can you imagine that, Ellie? He wanted a date for tonight.
Sounds like you're asking her so late went over like a lead balloon, brother.
Sounds like you asking her so late went like a red balloon. Maybe you should ask the girl who's slightly less attractive and looks like she's 40 years old. They're friends. Maybe you could go on a double date.
Wait, did he just pull out his planner? Or are they reading in a restaurant?
A girl likes a chance to get ready.
He pulled out his pocket Shakespeare.
His pocket.
Kids in the 40s were weird. Pretty girl problems. Yeah.
What is she wearing?
Hello, Wally. Come on in.
What is that hat?
Gee, look at y'all.
This reminds me of like an old theater, like
Mother,
living room set, which I'm sure it is.
Mother, father,
dad.
She's already holding his hand. They haven't even gone on a date.
Well, hello, Wally.
His ungloved hand too.
Oh,
very risque
so
in the 40s.
Engaged,
yeah, basically.
That's right, Mrs. Ames. How do you do?
They're married now.
Well, it's nice meeting you. Oh, excuse me a second. I forgot my scarf. I'll be right back.
Listen here, you little punk. You touch one hair on my daughter's head, I'm going to wrap this newspaper around your head and call you paper mache Bobby.
I tricked him into taking me out tonight. I understand you're having a little trouble with the props or the play. Oh,
see, in the mom has to trick the dad into taking her out on a date, too. You'd think that once they were married, they'd drop the games.
We couldn't find any plays.
Don't play games, kids.
Here I am, all set.
Where's your scarf?
Oh, Carolyn,
I think she's
brownies.
Holding
Yay.
It.
Oh,
maybe
I thought it was
Wally would like them when you get back. There's some milk in the icebox, too, isn't there? How does that sound?
Gee, that sounds good.
Gee, great milk.
We'll take you up on it, Mrs. Ames. Thanks.
Carolyn, don't take your coat off or anything.
Found one way a girl can repay a boy for entertaining her. A bite to eat at her house will save him money.
Oh, okay. I thought that was going to go in a whole different direction.
That would be fun.
She's popular.
We'll be home.
We'll be home before 11, Mother.
Wally and Carolyn are saved the embarrassment of the argument about coming in at night. That was settled before Wally arrived. The hour was decided after considering such things as where Carolyn and Wally are going on their date, whether tomorrow is a school day, and how many dates she has had recently.
Do you have your key
Wow.
here?
How many dates?
The family knows Carolyn will stick to her word.
All right.
Sure she will. This is one of those ones that was done for the parents.
Bye.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about your kids.
Bye.
They'll do exactly
Bye.
What they say.
Exactly.
Wally felt at ease with Carolyn's parents.
At first I thought they walked out and it was all like green grass outside. I was like, why are they going ice skating?
I'm going to
throw some snow at you, Bobby.
So wait, are they walking to Wally. His name is Wally.
Sorry.
For these same
I've renamed him Bobby.
Also because he is fun to be with. Home, parents and personality all help boys and girls.
Home, parents, and personality.
Wow.
I feel like I'm going to be popular.
I'm not.
You're not?
No. I never listened to my...
Next. There we go. Sorry about that, folks. Second one was a little louder.
A little louder.
Warn them in the chat room.
It's more fun if they discover it on their own.
Yeah, this one's called Habit Patterns, and it's from 1954. And this one's more about manners.
Oh, she's so sad.
I wish I could manners.
Oh.
Man, she is just like bawling, like retching shouts there.
It's a little late for tears, isn't it, Barbara? Even though you didn't know it was going to happen today, you've still had your whole life to prepare for it.
It's a little late for tears, Barbara.
You've gotten into the habit of not being prepared.
Oh, my.
And now it's a
little late. Jeez, lady.
Well, I'm afraid to know what you're not prepared for.
You're a creature of habit, Barbara. We all are. Unfortunately, not all of your habits are good ones.
Ooh.
This was how your
most of all crying behind a door
started wrong. Your neighbor Helen is a creature of habit too.
You see, but Helen's a good girl.
Helen.
Because Barbara, that's what
she's
she
not
really
stupid like you, Barbara.
She said it.
She's capable.
She got up to her alarm, Barbara.
She wears a frumpy robe, Barbara.
Know what she's going to do in what order?
She's not
and
crying.
Where the things are to do it with. She really doesn't have to think about it. She already knows what clothes she's going to wear.
She's
today.
Perfect, Barbara.
She is.
You'll
perfect.
Never be.
As you'll
it
never
turned
be this
out,
good.
It was a special day for Helen too.
Oh, Helen!
But she makes a habit of being ready for special days.
Jeez.
She starts by having a place for things.
It's like
you didn't watch this ahead,
there.
Did you?
No, not at all. I knew they were doing sort of a goofus and gallant kind of thing, but that was about it.
She uses taste in selecting her clothes.
So you're saying
but
Barbara doesn't?
More than that, she keeps them clean and mended.
And mended.
And she's able to match the right
she makes sure she's
right
beautiful
skirt.
Every morning, unlike you, Barbara.
She found Barbara a little prettier than Helen.
Barbara's behind that door. She's trapped in the closet.
Wynn has seen this before.
Nice.
This is going to be a special day for you. But you hadn't gotten very far with your preparations for it.
Is this Helen or...
This is
was
Barbara.
Was your family
Barbara.
Asleep?
Oh.
No, your mother was up.
Uh-oh.
Had
but
been
she's stupid
hour.
Too, Barbara.
Barbara, get up. You'll be late for school.
Your mother's British for some
does
reason.
Do
you can't even have an American
morning,
mother, Barbara.
Barbara,
get
do
with
you
it.
Hear me?
Barbara, do you
if
hear me?
If your mother
me?
Stopped acting like a second alarm clock for even one day, you'd probably think it was a dirty...
Pete's sake, I hear you. I'm up!
You didn't seem at all appreciative.
Pete's sake.
Even if you're
who's
not
Pete?
Really well-mannered, you could make a habit of being civil.
Yeah, actually, you know what?
Really
I agree with the narrator. Barbara does look pretty frumpy here.
Little lies are such a firm
really?
Foundation.
Yeah, her hair's like all like...
Ones.
She just got out of bed!
You started your day
Helen looked
no
fine.
Plan at all.
Helen is on
Helen,
medication.
Helen looked like she had spent like 4 hours in a beautician's
can't remember
chair.
Remember where you left it?
Wow.
You forgot other important things to do.
Helen would have a better beret. Beret, sorry. Barrett.
You meant to fix that collar, but you've gotten into the habit of putting things off.
Oh,
there are so
geez.
Many things you plan to
Helen
do.
Helen would have never broken
Saturday
the collar to begin
or
with.
One after that.
Barbara.
Let's see. You found the algebra notebook you lost.
And you put it back.
The ski pants you meant to put away in the chest. The afghan you started to knit last summer.
She's going why algebra skiing.
And, oh, yes, the sweater you were looking for.
See, like, I actually think her room looks pretty neat. Like,
yeah.
Like, we're not going to turn the cameras around on my office right now,
oh,
but...
she just looked at the clock.
Yeah, this is definitely...
She's in trouble now.
This is definitely a Barbara
you decided
office.
You decided to cover the spots on your sweater with a scarf. You often do that. But you can't forget that the spots are there. If you had a habit plan for your mornings,
oh my.
You might get off to a decent start someday.
I try to have habit plans in all areas
Helen
of my life.
Helen has a habit plan, and it includes a healthy breakfast and a pleasant word with her parents.
Nice.
Cardigan.
And milk?
All three always enjoy.
Well, let's see. She's probably got sausages, pancakes, eggs, toast, a little bowl of cereal, and some milk.
It was time to get started.
Some bacon, some sauce.
Bacon and sausage.
Helen's dad would drop her on the way downtown,
and a pound of butter.
And who could ask for a nicer way to go to school?
What high school kid wants their dad to drop off?
Helen's dad loves her, Barbara. Your dad doesn't.
Your dad
love
doesn't.
Your dad hasn't even appeared in this show yet, Barbara.
Your brother was ready, but your father couldn't wait for you.
She feels like
but you could have driven to school.
Yeah, Angel says, I feel like I'm watching an old school film about myself.
Too.
Are you Barbara or Helen, Angel?
Your eggs were cold this morning, but you had no time to be picky about food or to think about your diet. No time for milk.
You just ate a pound of raw bacon and ran out the door.
No time for manners.
She has a unibrow, too, Barbara.
You made a pretty picture with your rumpled skirt, your spotted sweater, and your hair.
She can't even kiss her mom right.
Oh, freaking Barbara.
Run! Run!
You're going to fall.
And Angel says she was definitely Barbara.
You went by at your regular
well, sorry for all this cruel talk, but the narrator set the tone. We're just following it.
You were late for school this morning, but then you're almost always late. And you're guilty about it. More so because your lateness is habitual.
And all the people in your class hate you.
And the longer you stick with the habit,
and so does the janitor.
Everyone hates you, Barbara.
And so does the janitor, played by Stan Lee.
But more than that, you felt a distaste for your sloppy ways.
You know, I'm just going to pretend that this is an origin story from Barbara, of Barbara from Gotham.
I knew it was coming.
That wasn't a happy
Barbara.
Barbara!
Or do you always drum with your fingers?
Ooh, throwing shade.
Lots of shade.
I do like that little thing she has around her neck, though.
It's called a scarf.
It's the first good thing Barbara's done all show.
But it's covering a spot.
When the day suddenly turned into something.
Oh, let's see what happened.
You've never been friends with Ann Tolliver, and you've always wanted to be.
Hi. Some of the crowd's coming over to my house right after school.
The crowd?
Do you think you two
as long as you're not ugly or smelly.
Ann, I'd love to.
Swell. Well, what do you say, Bobby?
Sure, thanks.
Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Well, we don't want weird girls there.
Oh, yes.
So who do you think's more popular, Helen or Barbara?
Helen. New groups forming, old ones reforming. Yours is a changing social world.
It's such a bad spot.
And the opportunities to be part of it must be taken.
Don't managers at McDonald's wear those now?
You knew this afternoon that you were making a bad impression. And you knew how easy it is not to be invited again. Mm-hmm. And how quickly you can be left out of the crowd. You were embarrassed by your messy hair and the
All you have to do is be dumb and greasy like Barbara. Without good habit plans.
You worried about the spots on your sweater, Barbara. But what really showed up were your habits.
Although everyone saw the spots, too.
Pleasant comparing yourself
and they judged
the
you for them.
What? I said, what do you think?
You weren't listening.
You weren't listening.
You seldom do. It's a habit of yours.
And now the acid's kicking in, Barbara.
Much about it.
They were talking
you're
about
on a bad trip.
All your friends were interested, but you never got into the habit of reading books.
Oh, she doesn't even read books.
Claudia wanted to be free to do all the things she'd never been allowed to do.
Well, that was her whole
reason. There's past hors d'oeuvres at an after-school party?
Yep.
Well,
you gotta. This is the age of the stay-at-home, like the housewife, you know, so what else did the mom have to do all day besides drink and make hors d'oeuvres for her daughter's party?
The trouble with me is getting started. I
bet you she had a good habit plan to accomplish all of that.
I didn't even want to.
I need a good habit plan.
Because I thought it would be too long-haired. Oh, but the music is wonderful. I'm going to go to the whole series. My mother had to drag me to the music.
Where's Helen? I want to see Helen again. I'm tired of Barbara. I don't like Barbara.
Barbara.
I got an idea for a new dress.
Actually, it would probably be more Helen.
Interested in music or politics or art.
Mm. She's only interested in having bad habits.
We always go to the beach. Every year we take a cottage at Essex.
We like the beach. There's sand in the ocean and other stuff.
Hey, at least she's talking to them
now. My name's Barbara.
There are tennis courts at the hotels, too, and dances every weekend.
That sounds grand.
And it's just a short way to the city.
Also, I support the new law in Indiana.
And you couldn't help but groove like a rubber band. We all like to talk about ourselves, but a soliloquy isn't a conversation. First, you didn't talk at all. And
Bobby
then
says Barbara took the brown acid.
Conversation is a two-way street, but for you, it's either one way or a dead end.
Actually, you know what's funny is we have a segment coming up in a little bit where I give almost that exact same advice.
Bye, Barbara. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
Bye, Barbara.
Stupid Barbara.
In all society, at all ages, we know that
I'm just going to sit here and grumble, Barbara, 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 Barbara.
Our faults are often more discussed than our good points. And sometimes our good points are completely ignored.
That's not played at them.
But perhaps worst of all is our own disappointment in ourselves.
Barbara.
And the remarks we imagine our friends are making about us.
I'm way too into this.
Gee, I think dirty fingernails are hard.
So that's what was making her cry? What she was imagining people were saying about her?
Yes!
Get a grip, Barbara.
Bad manners are still bad manners no matter what you call them.
Be a Helen. Don't be a Barbara.
I want to be a Barbara.
The memory of this day stands...
You want to know how you fix things, Barbara? Stop being Barbara. Become Helen.
Where will you start?
Take her hair.
Your complexion.
Oh, she's
weave it into a wig.
That starts with soap.
Put on
and water,
Helen's hair. And put on Helen's clothes. Move into Helen's house.
The right kind
take
of
over her life. That's the
your
only way
hair,
now.
It's more than just a shampoo when you happen to think of it. Your clothes, not just
I only shampoo when I happen to think
away
of it.
From you,
luckily, I happen to think of it in the shower mostly.
For all a pattern.
What's she doing?
A network of habits.
Looking for
Helen
for Romeo.
Checks her clothes for cleaning when she
takes
them off.
No, she's looking out at Helen's house.
That's
she's
a
like,
habit of hers.
I'm coming.
This morning,
she just
Helen
wore that.
Took her skirt from the front of
this
the
is
closet.
Not a positive thing.
Tonight, she hangs it in the back. That's a habit too.
No, but Helen doesn't sweat
one
either.
Plus side.
Apparently,
it gives
Helen doesn't sweat because she's
hang,
Helen and she's perfect.
Rests the fabric. Tonight, Helen makes a plan for tomorrow. A what to wear, what to
oh, and
a
Wynn says
when
this is
do it,
this the drunk episode yet? Very soon.
Helen has
what
the
I
habit
her.
Of being ready
I did.
For
no, that's what I
yeah, I know, I read that.
Oh, okay. I was like, that was a while ago.
See, Helen's going to go to bed and she's going to get exactly 8 hours sleep, no more, no less. She's going to have exactly 3.2
dreams.
Uh-huh, and she's
good
going to grow an eighth of an inch.
And energy.
Like she does every
oh,
night.
She's waiting in
freedom to do those
she'll be a giant within 3 months.
Helen is not human, correct.
Helen is from the planet Zortflop.
Uh-oh, Barbara cleaned.
Helen is from Zortflop, Barbara is from Earth. Helen is from Venus.
Yes,
or Barbara
good
is from
start.
Venus. Something like that.
But these improvements are not yet habits, not
oh.
by any means. They must happen.
Does she
again
not normally shower? Like, is that right?
I think she actually takes like a little styptic pencil and draws on freckles. Thought. Too.
If you try, really try, you can root out the poor
no,
accidental
no, no.
habits.
Now, Barbara.
And establish in their place the good habits approved by custom, accepted by society.
Barbara, are you still
Bobby left? Says, Helen doesn't sweat, she glistens.
True.
Nope.
Oh,
still
oh.
not Helen. You'll never be Helen.
Oh, there she goes. She's picking it up.
Surprise, there's a landmine under the robe. Don't pick it up. Don't pick it up. Bye, Barbara. It was your own stupid mistake, just like always. Barbara.
Barbara.
I'm sure the young actress who played Barbara is a fine young person.
Across the street,
she's just
Helen's
playing
light
a
goes
very
out.
Unappealing character.
Reasonable hours
see,
are
I,
part of her pattern.
I told you that she was
and
checking
you.
Her out
oh,
across
I knew
the street.
She was doing that.
Well, you've had a hard day. But staying awake to think about it won't help it any.
Go to bed, Barbara.
For a change. Give yourself a good start on a new day. Wow.
Okay, I'm going to sleep too. Good night.
Good night.
We're doing a show. Oops.
Knowing things.
What are we doing?
What's
going
happening?
On here? No, but that was fun.
That was hilarious.
I definitely enjoyed that.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, and I think the chat room did too,
I
which
hope
is
so.
Always good.
Good things.
What are we even doing now?
I don't have any idea.
I just want to slam Barbara again. I just want to keep talking about Barbara the entire
oh.
episode.
Please don't.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but before we do, we wanted to mention we thought it would be nice to tell you guys the origins of please and thank you, the words and their usage and everything. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll just show this here real quick. We pulled this from the book Debt: The First 5,000 Years by David Graeber, I believe, and we'll have a link in the show notes at universebox.com. But I guess I'll go ahead and I'll read the origin of please, and then you want to read the origin of thank you?
Sure.
Okay, the English please is short for if you please, if it pleases you to do this. It is the same in most European languages. Its literal meaning is you are under no obligation to do this. Hand me the salt. Not that I'm saying you have to. Not that I'm saying you have to. This is not true. There is a social obligation, and it would be almost impossible not to comply. But etiquette largely consists of the exchange of polite fictions to use the polite language lie, or the less polite language lies.
Wow.
When you ask someone to pass you the salt, you are also giving them an order. By attaching the word please, you are saying it is not an order, but in fact, it actually is. And you want to read for
yes. In you? English, thank you derives from think. It originally meant, I will remember what you did for me, which is usually not true either. But in other languages, the Portuguese obrigado mm-hmm. is a good example. The standard term follows the form in the English much obliged. It actually does mean I am in your debt. The French merci is even more graphic. It derives from mercy, as in begging for mercy.
Merci, mercy.
Merci, merci. By saying that you are symbolically placing yourself in your benefactor's power, since a debtor is, after all, a criminal. Saying you're welcome or it's nothing. French de rien, Spanish de nada. I also can't speak any of these languages, so sorry if I'm offended.
Oh, I think everyone understood that.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure it was pretty obvious. The latter has at least the advantage of often being literally true, is a way of reassuring the one to whom one has passed the salt. Oh, good grief, we're back to the salt. That you are not actually inscribing a debit in your imaginary moral account book. It is saying, my pleasure. You are saying, no, actually, it's a credit, not a debit. Seriously, you did me a favor because in asking me to pass the salt, you gave me the opportunity to do something I found rewarding in itself. Yes, please, please let me pass all of the salts.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Please.
Please. Not a problem.
And thank you. These are the magic words. No, but it boils down to please and thank you are both ways to make it seem like you care about the other person while giving them orders or doing something kind of selfish too. Always fun. All right. So next up, we're going to tell you a little bit about a contest we're running over on contest. Greetings from Storybrooke. Then Anne-Marie is going to tell us how to make an impression at a dinner party. So we'll be back in just a few. Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And we are here to announce our Greetings from Storybrooke Regal Con test. If you don't know what Regal Con is, it's a convention they're having this year in Anaheim, California, May 8th through 10th, that focuses on the Once Upon a Time fandom. Now, there's going to be a lot of oncers there. And a lot of cast members, too, like Emily DeRaven, Sean McGuire.
Many dwarves.
And Rebecca Mader will mm-hmm. be there. August. You know, all sorts of people.
That's right. August will be there.
Thanks to you guys. Thanks to our patrons. We're going to be able to cover my plane ticket and my hotel room, you know, just off of you guys' donations that you've made over at patreon.com/universebox. Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it.
And we're definitely going to be bringing you back a lot of exclusive content. We should be doing some interviews, some special panels out there. We'll be mm-hmm. talking to you guys, the Once Upon a Time fans and everything. In order to get Anne-Marie to the convention, not only do we have to cover her airfare, but we also have to pay for a babysitter for the kids. But we'd love to have her go out there and help with the interviews and be on panels and interact with all of you guys. So we've come up with a fun way to kind of try and finance this. We want to see you there, which is why we're throwing the Greetings from Storybrooke Regal Con test. So two prizes. The grand prize, the 3-day general admission ticket to RegalCon 2015, and the runner-up prize, which is a beautiful Rumpelstiltskin stand-in like we have right back here.
Now, there are three ways for you to enter the RegalCon test. First is by making a one-time donation. There should be a pretty little button right around here.
Yeah, and you can make a donation right through YouTube
right through here. YouTube. Second is to donate to our Patreon or to up your donation if you're a current patron. And patron donations start at 10 cents.
The grand prize
is worth $139.
$139 for 10 cents? That's a good entry, right?
I think that's a good deal.
But, you know, if you don't want to spend money directly, right. we completely understand.
Understood,
and that's
completely.
Fine. So we have a third way to enter, too.
Send us a postcard.
Very
because
easy.
Because our, where is it? Thing here is pretty empty still. Send us something to put in the frame and you'll be entered to win both of the prizes
That will definitely count as an entry, which is good. And you can send it to this address right here that we'll put
there's
right
going to be an address.
Right there. Yes. You have to enter quickly because we want to give everyone, you know, the grand prize winner, we want to give them time to make travel arrangements, hotel arrangements, all
exactly.
that kind of stuff. So we're going to cut off entries midnight on April the 8th. Then what we'll do on April 9th is we'll go ahead and draw the grand prize winner mm-hmm. and we'll contact them privately and give them 24 hours to either accept or decline. If they accept, fine, we're off to the races and we'll do a second draw for the Rumpel standout or stand up. But if they reject it or they don't respond, we're going to go ahead and pull another grand prize winner mm-hmm. and keep going like
keep
that until we find someone who wants to do it and then, you know, make a second draw for the runner up. Right. If you win the general admission ticket, we're going to take you out for dinner and drinks or something to, just hang out for a little bit, everything.
You have to. I mean, definitely. if you're coming to a convention, you've got to enjoy yourself.
Okay, so like we said, two prizes, one general admission ticket free of charge to RegalCon 2015 that they've graciously provided us, and one Rumpelstiltskin stand-up cutout cardboard guy like we have in the background of all of our episodes of Greetings from Storybrooke. Get your entry in by April 8th to enter, and we hope to see you at the con.
Hello, this is Anne Marie with Universe Box, and today I'm going to teach you how to be rude and disrespectful at a friend's dinner party. First, the invitation. If you receive your dinner request in the mail, quickly scan the invitation before placing it in the trash. Sometimes it's okay to be an asshole. If an invitation is extended to you on the phone or in person, simply grunt, and change the subject. Suck my dick. When the invitee inquires whether or not you will be attending the dinner party, since you missed the stated RSVP deadline, inform them that you are scheduled to take a hot yoga class at that time, but you will do your best to attend. Next comes the event prep. You wrap up your hot yoga class just in time to make it to the dinner party. As you are leaving the studio, a few of your fellow yogis invite you out for organic kale smoothies. Decline, but invite them to the dinner party. What's three extra mouths to feed? None of you should worry about changing or freshening up prior to going to the party. I don't give a shit. Next, the arrival. You arrive at the dinner party half an hour after it was scheduled to begin. No worries. Just walk on in with your three sweaty friends and pass out big bear hugs. Make sure that you mention that one of your friends is a vegan, another has a gluten allergy, and they will be unable to eat the chicken pot pie that was prepared. And do you possibly have an arugula salad with walnuts and cranberries that they could eat? Oh, and guest number three is in AA, so we should probably take the wine bottles off of the table. Number four, the consumption of the foods. Go to town, grab handfuls of food and chow down. Make sure you properly season each bite with salt, pepper, and ketchup. Do not worry about disturbing others while they are eating to pass you things. Just reach across the table and help yourself. This will help facilitate the flow of conversation. Be sure to loudly ask your host where the gluten-free vegan dishes are for your guests and why the wine has yet to be cleared from the table. Your alcoholic friend is starting to drool looking at the Chardonnay. Help yourself to a double dessert, and don't worry about the chocolate sauce that you have dripped on the antique tablecloth. I'm sure your host's grandmother wouldn't mind. 5. The departure. When you have had your fill, stand up, grab an extra dessert to go, and walk out the front door without saying a word. No one wants to be bothered with goodbyes anyway. Finally, the thank you. This step is not needed. Just show up again next Sunday around the same time. They mentioned something about having rabbit, deviled eggs, and scalloped potatoes. If you follow these steps, you are sure to have a great dining experience with your friends that is rude and disrespectful. And if you don't like it, f*** you.
Jeez, Anne Marie. Little rough and tumble there.
And if you don't like it.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay, so we're back. Next up, we're going to open up the toolbox. And in this week's toolbox, we're going to give you guys a few solid tips that'll keep you from looking like a jerk online. Because, I mean, you know, it's a social media world, and social media manners are Super important.
Super important.
Anne-Marie, why don't you go ahead and give us our first tip.
All right. Number one, read your posts out loud. Sometimes the way things sound in our heads doesn't reflect how they sound to somebody's ear. This can lead to misunderstandings. Reading your post out loud is a calm and neutral tone is a great way to check for tone problems before sending it off.
All right. Now, next step, number two.
Wait 5 minutes. If somebody's post upsets you, your response will probably be quick and passionate. Passion is good, but speaking without thinking can lead to unfriending online.
I call that spanking.
Spanking. If you're pretty peeved, take 5 minutes, go do something else. You'll probably calm down and find a way to respond that reflects your point of view without making a big deal of it. I would just like to say the wait 5 minutes has saved me from many, mm-hmm. many bad decisions.
Yeah, that and
yesterday, in fact.
So, sometimes I'll also tell you, like, when I see you getting embroiled in something online, I'll be like, disengage. Just that's disengage. What,
yes, if you saw yesterday, I will not feed the troll. That was me.
Yeah, basically. That. Okay, let's see here. Number three is filter your friends. Now, it might sound weird. Stick with me. We all have friends and family members that we love dearly, but we don't really give a fig about. But they don't really give a fig about a civil online discourse. Now, many Twitter clients provide filters for certain keywords. So, if you know there's a big news story or whatever that people are talking about that you don't feel like hearing about, you can do that. But you can also do it right through Twitter's website. Basically, what you do, there's a little gear icon up in the upper right hand corner. You click on that, and then you click on mute, and you can follow them without seeing their stuff pop up in your timeline, you know, saving you the frustration, getting the negative stuff out of your face, so it doesn't affect you. You don't get into fights, whatever. You can also do this with Facebook by clicking on the little triangle arrow in the upper right of any post, and then clicking unfollow.
Oh, okay. Well, you can do that by post, and you can actually unfollow a person without defriending them or unliking a page.
Yeah.
You can just not have them show up.
To where they won't show up there. And you can also – there are a lot more granular options in a great Chrome extension that I use. I think you use it too, Anne-Marie, called Social Fixer, and we'll have the link for that in our show notes. So definitely check that out. A word of warning, though. Filtering things out of that you don't like can kind of trap you in sort of a bubble to where you don't get any outside diverse opinions or perspectives. So, you know, this should probably be used as a last resort, kind of a if I don't filter these people out on Facebook, then we're probably not going to be friends anymore. Then you do this. So you don't do this, you know, oh, he said he liked X movie and I didn't like X movie. I'm going to block him or you know, filter him out.
Well, but you can filter them out, but they can still see your things to comment on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is a good compromise.
That still brings, you know, that around. Yeah. Sorry. I just have lots to say about that one.
Oh, no problem. Okay. And then the next tip is to take a social media vacation. Sometimes the best way to clean up your social profile is to abandon them. Not forever, but I usually take about a week. Social media is gamified. It encourages you to use it. So the more you use it, the more you'll want to use it. Mm-hmm. This can lead to lower quality posts. You put less thought into them. It waters them down. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let me read what I wrote here. Why consider what you're posting when you're posting so much anyway? But stepping away for, like I said, I do it for about a week, can break the habit. And it can also help separate you from other negativity you might see on your feed, which might be making your posts more negative too. And you can return with a positive mindset. And if you're don't have your nose in your phone for the entire week, then you're going to have a lot of new interesting experiences to talk about. Maybe you read a book. Maybe you watched a movie. Maybe you ran a marathon. Maybe you made up your own social media network on a piece of notebook paper because you missed the actual one so much. Who knows? And here's the last one. Tip number five.
Don't only chime in when you have something to say. Life is busy and sometimes we tend to open up a social site, post something, then close it immediately without even reading what our friends have to say. Take time to read other people's content and make sure to favorite, like, or comment if you see a friend having a bad day. Online relationships are still relationships, and you get out of it what you put in. Absolutely true. Especially learned that one with the whole blogging and podcasting world. That's where you can see a lot of that.
Yeah, it's about engagement. It's not about getting those follower numbers up or those favorite numbers up or those retweets up necessarily. It's about going in there and making a human connection over social media. Mm-hmm. So those are just a few things you can do. You can do. I mean, I know the world runs at its own pace and everything, and you know you can't correct for all the negativity out there online and stuff. But these are ways that you can kind of tailor your online persona to appear like less of a jerk. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm saying you're a jerk.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Next up is the idea box, and if you don't know what the idea box is, basically what we do, we have a form up at universebox.com/ideabox where you guys can go and ask questions based around our topic, and we answer them here. And you can also throw in ideas you have for show notes and things like show topics and things like that too at universebox.com/ideabox. And we got three this week. What's the first one, Anne-Marie, is okay. What's the most impolite thing you do on a daily basis?
Ignore people? Yeah. Specifically the small people in the house who don't stop talking ever.
Yeah, and it would be one thing if they were talking about something real, but they are talking about something they care about, but it's like listing Pokemon.
Pokemon! There was also...
I'm gonna be the very best.
See, I would actually be cool with it if they started singing or performing something, but... Child number three has taken to dragging me into different rooms to reenact things. Mommy, mommy, hurry, hurry, come quick. Mommy, come quick. And I walk in. Do you see this triangle? I don't see the triangle. This is the conversation that I get. I'm going to go back to Facebook.
Yeah, not a really in-depth conversation.
No, not really. What is the most impolite thing you do on a daily basis?
I guess this could be classed as a confession, but it's impolite, but I generally do it when I'm by myself, so it's probably not so impolite. On occasion, I'll scratch my nose and I'll get like a booger and like I'll flick it, which isn't that bad.
That's really not that bad.
It's pretty impolite though. Like I wouldn't do that around people, but you know if I'm like walking down the street on my lunch break walk or something, and I'm like, oh, something weird. Oh, just like that. Now I feel ashamed. Okay, Anne-Marie, how polite is too polite?
Oh, you can cross that line. You can cross that line. You don't have to be the first person to offer to do something for everybody. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be the first one to like every single picture, like stop putting the notifications on people. You don't have to be the first one to volunteer to do this for you and do this for you and do this for you and then complain about you're too busy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Kid, what do you got? Because that was a horrible, horrible answer, but it's what you get.
We'll see, like... I don't know. By the way, Tondagasa said I muted him. I did not mute Tondagasa on Twitter. Just for the record.
For the record!
Tondagasa's done some great dog boy fan art, actually, which is fun.
Ooh!
But I don't really know where the line is, but I know I get accused of this a lot. Like, when I go and I'm a guest at someone's house, like, if I ask them for a drink or, like, you know, if I ask them if I can have a drink or if I ask them, please, where's the restroom, stuff like that, I'm usually super polite, especially if it's in the first, like, 20 or 30 times I'm over at someone's house or something like that.
You don't go to anybody's house that many times.
It takes a long time for me to like
be comfortable.
Yeah, to be comfortable enough to be like, I'm gonna go around and get my own drinks. I'm gonna raid your refrigerator, all that kind of stuff. Nice. But yeah, I don't know where the line is, but I guess I cross it quite a bit.
Do you?
Yeah, I guess. I've heard people have told me that a lot.
I could see that.
In my life. Okay, and Anne-Marie, a last question. Did you receive any etiquette training? No?
No.
Not at all?
Obviously, I'm going to be rude. No, and I really, 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 really would love to go to charm school and go to a cotillion and all this stuff like Wynn was saying that they have in Virginia. Mm-hmm. I would love to have done that.
Yeah.
I would totally – I have to wear the dresses and have the perfect hair and all of that. The sweaters and the pearls. I love that whole thing. Like, my pearls are from Italy.
Nice.
So – I don't know. I kind of enjoy that stuff. I know you didn't.
Actually,
you did?
I did, actually.
Hilarious.
When I was 8 or 9 years old, and I can't remember exactly when. I was 8 years old because we were living on Fincastle. My mom went to this big, independent Baptist church seminar and came back with this big workbook for me. It was probably about 200 pages. It was done up like those cheap jobs you can get at Kinko's where it has like the black plastic spirally rings and stuff in it. And it was called Christian Manhood.
Oh.
And it actually didn't focus too much on religion. It was more about like cleaning your fingernails and brushing your teeth and don't smoke and, you know, here are ways to be polite. It was the guy version of that one we looked at earlier.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, more or less. So that was the extent of my training. So let's see here.
She handed you a pamphlet and walked away.
Basically. Scotty Rowland says, my manners school was getting smacked in the back of the head when not saying ma'am or sir, which is always
okay, fun. And that's totally either a military or a southern thing. It's both, because up north you don't really get the ma'ams and sirs very much. Back in college, I dated somebody in the military and he ma'amed me frequently. And I really was like, you need to stop this. This is really a problem. And then we moved here to the Georgia and, everybody ma'ams and sirs. And I've noticed I correct the children when they don't ma'am and sir.
Yeah. It was
hilarious.
It was pretty common in Texas too.
It's Texas. Yeah.
It's like a whole nother country.
Yeah, seriously is.
Okay, let's see. So I guess it's time to find out what's going to be in the box for next week. What could it be?
What could it be now?
What's in the box?
This is the clue.
Yes. Glass.
Glass!
Brown glass. Next week is brown glass on Universe Box. Let's get into the box. What is in the box?
We need a song here. What's in the box? Bam!
Yep. Next week on Universe Box, we're getting wasted at least twice. Bottoms up. Pour me a whiskey. We're getting drunk.
Sorry.
Oh, it's fine.
Yes!
Scare me a little. Drunk. D-R-U-N-K drunk. So what's your favorite drink? Ever get busted drinking by your folks? How many empty bottles did you have in your dorm room, you know, lining the walls or whatever? Tell us about the first time you got tipsy. We're talking drunk next week on Universe Box, and this one is going to be major.
Major.
And we're actually doing, just to let you guys know, we're doing a little bit of prep work on it, a little pre-production on it. This Saturday at 9 p.m. EST, we're going to be live streaming a musical artist who's I've known for years now, a good friend of mine.
Some of our following people.
Yeah, we'll know. Ali Spagnola, she has what's called the Power Hour album, where basically it's a song per minute, a 1 minute song for 60 minutes. Yes. So that's the game we're going to play. We're going to record it all live. And then I'm going to edit down the best 20 for the podcast next week. Mm-hmm. But we'd love to have an active chat.
Please. Because, you know, the first couple, like first 15 minutes at least of doing any sort of drinking game event is usually pretty. So we're drinking.
Yeah. And we're drinking. And we're drinking. And we're drinking.
And we're drinking. So there's that.
Plus, you know, we might even try and do some call-ins and stuff like that.
It could be fun.
So if you guys want to play the game along with us.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Who wants to play Virtual Power Hour?
But it'll be at live.universebox.com this Saturday. Which is April 4th at 9 p.m. EST.
Making it a little later.
And don't miss it. Even if you don't drink.
Join us and have some lemonade.
Yeah.
Don't have iced tea. Apparently somebody injured their liver.
Kidneys.
With kidneys?
Yeah, their kidneys shut down. But, you know, if you have any drunk stories you want to go ahead and send us, we'd love to hear them. We didn't get much this week as far as – you guys didn't have many manners stories. That's okay. But you can email us, universeboxshow@gmail.com. You can tweet us at @universe_box. The Facebook is facebook.com/theuniversebox. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And like I said, we only have one piece of feedback this week.
I forgot about that.
And yeah, it's actually concerning our episode last week on Nickelodeon. And Bobby says he'll call in for the drinking game.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. So Michael Lucero says, hey, y'all, I thought this was one of the better episodes of the podcast so far. And not just because I was on it. If you didn't watch, Michael did one of the stickly pitches. Yeah. Your discussions made me think of all sorts of Nickelodeon memories I have. Just a few thoughts on some. I used to love All That, so I was sad it didn't hold up. The Good Burger movie that spun off the show was my absolute favorite movie in the world for the duration of one summer.
But that still gained favorite status. I have yet to sit through the entire thing.
It's because it came on an orange VHS tape, if you remember. Nickelodeon always did that. I bought the VHS tape. The tape was Neon Nickelodeon Orange, of course. Nice. I hadn't read that, actually. And the soundtrack and Son, I'm a Dude, for most of 1997. What is it? I'm a Dude. She's a Dude. He's a Dude. Because we're all dudes. I'm glad to hear that Anne-Marie knows of and is a fan of David the Gnome. She's one of my favorite people I know who actually remembers that show's existence. It was one of my favorites of all time when it was on.
Yes.
Alex Mack was also a favorite show when I was a bit older, although one I hardly ever watched. Not sure why. Maybe it had something to do with when it was on versus when I got home from school. Mm-hmm. Also, Legends of the Hidden Temple was probably the best game show ever on television, in my memory. I can't believe there wasn't more than a spare mention of Salute Your Shorts. Although when Bill said that Hey Dude doesn't hold up, it made me wonder if maybe the same is true of that.
I could see that.
Yeah, I actually haven't gone back and seen...
I meant that was almost my Wonder Box, but then we decided to do the game show thing.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I see Scotty Rowland in the chat room mentioning no Bobby voicemail. I know. No, no.
Oh, yes, for the show today.
Yeah, no Bobby voicemail for the first time.
But he's
going to
call in for the drunk.
Yeah, so that'll make up for it.
That helps.
Okay, and then Michael continues. Lastly, I have to second the recommendation of Avatar, The Last Airbender, and Legends of Korra.
I'm glad you know what those mean.
Some of the best cartoon storytelling I've ever seen. I don't think you need to be an anime fan to enjoy it either. While it uses a lot of Asian cultural influences and is animated by the Korean studios, it's definitely not anime. It usually doesn't look like anime, and they don't hardly use any of the same usual anime storytelling devices. Its substance and sensibility are Asian, but its bones and structure are solidly Western. There's something really great. There's some really great world building in these shows too, with the element bending and hybrid animals. Not to mention that Bill would totally love Sokka's sense of humor. A great job on the episode, Michael Lucero. Thank you very much,
Michael. Thank you, Michael.
And as I mentioned, you can email us any thoughts on drunk story. Everyone has a good drunk story.
Everybody's got a good drinking story.
So seriously, like if we don't have 25 minutes of listener feedback next week, we're canceling the show.
No, we're not.
We're not actually canceling the show.
We're not going to really do
that. But we'd love to hear your drunk stories. Email universeboxshow@gmail.com. Tweet us at @universe_box. The Facebook is facebook.com/theuniversebox. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And Bobby says he didn't know what to add for Manners. That's what I assumed.
That's totally fair because, not going to lie, Manners is a little difficult.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have a short episode for a while, but it ended up turning
right
out really nice.
We're right on time.
Exactly. Okay, so we have a couple takeaways this episode. Okay. So first off, what's considered polite or impolite is constantly changing.
True story.
It never hurts to be polite. And this is from Emily Post.
Miss Manners.
I
was wrong?
Yeah, I was wrong.
Good.
It's from Emily Post. A quote, "Manners are a sensitive awareness of the feelings of others. If you have that awareness, you have good manners no matter what fork you use." And no, seriously, is this the right fork or not? I'm not sure. Should I eat a salad
with this?
What
are you trying to eat with that fork?
Cereal?
I think it's a dinner fork.
I think I need a spoon, actually.
Spoon!
Okay, Amory, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter @AMDSimone, or if you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm @CCHCblog because I refuse to change that one back.
And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter @BillMeeks. You can follow the books I write at dogboyadventures.com. And actually, if you want to, on tomorrow night, Friday at 8:30 p.m. EST, we're going to be recording a little spoiler party for Gotham. If you listen to our podcast, Legends of Gotham, you can find that at legendsofgotham.com. And you can find everything we do at universebox.com. Okay, well, I guess that does it for another wonderful
rousing episode of Universe Box.
So until next time,
remember to think outside.
Do not adjust your computer screen. It's your mind we're changing. Story set to a theme. Think outside. Universe Box.
I just love this album art.
She looks like something stinks.
You can kind of see some veins in her right eye, though. It's kind of creepy.
Ew,
just a little bit.
Okay, I don't want to look at those.